Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, as Tara Reed says, I just want to say happy birthday to all my amazing friends and followers. Love you guys, and I hope you have the best time of your life. Hashtag HBD.
You're so positive. You're just like, I'm glad she's happy. I'm glad she's not just like a, you know, my career kind of fell apart and I had the terrible thing happen with my surgery and everything sucks. Like, it's nice that she's like, you know, she seems happier than like Winona Ryder.
Sure. Or when she was like dating Fred Durst.
Yeah.
That was that happened. Did that happen? Or Carson Daly? I can never get that straight.
Did you hear about Rage Against the Machine and Limp Bizkit?
In 2015? Probably not.
So Limp Bizkit did an interview this week and said that they were influenced by Rage Against the Machine, and Rage Against the Machine put out an official statement apologizing.
Wait, run that by me one more time.
So Limp Bizkit said that they were influenced and inspired by Rage Against the Machine.
Sure.
And Rage Against the Machine put out an official statement apologizing for that.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. That's kind of amazing.
That's almost as good as, I'm trying to think who was, oh, that's almost as good as when 311 beat up Creed.
Right.
That's my favorite story.
Yeah.
From late 90s rock bands, actually. I was a big 311 fan in high school. Big.
I couldn't tell you one song.
Big 311 fan in high school.
I'm sure I've heard them, but I couldn't. What's their most popular song?
Oh, come
song?
On, you like hip hop.
Yep. You're right, I do.
We're off the rails early. So instead of doing it at the end, I thought because it's preseason, we should switch it and we should do games first.
Oh. Picks.
I have a line for this game.
Good Lord. Hold on. I just have to say, if you're like really gambling on the first preseason game of the season, I don't even think you have a problem. I'm just proud of you.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. No, I'm just kidding. I've never been on games. I'm a reporter. But it's interesting. The Clippers at home are 7-point favorites. Oh, they're not at home. Are they in Vegas? I think they're in Vegas.
I couldn't tell you. I know they're technically the home team.
Nope, they're at Staples.
Okay, so
at home. The Clippers are 7-point favorites versus the Denver Nuggets this evening.
Wow.
I kind of like the Nuggets here. Gotta tell you, Zach.
Sure.
I mean, think they're a strong play.
I couldn't tell you my analysis for either one.
Well, my thought is Pierce is obviously not going to play.
Right. Pierce may not show up.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, Pierce is not going to be in the building. And the Nuggets have more young guys, and like Doc may just roll out like Austin and a bunch of the guys that won't make the team for most of the second half.
Yeah.
And like, I think Michael Malone will probably play, like, most of his actual rotation guys are pretty young.
I can't believe you're breaking down
I'm serious.
This line of the first preseason game. So you're taking the Nuggets?
I'm taking the Nuggets plus 7. I think it's a strong play.
Yeah, no, it probably is a strong play. I don't doubt you there.
Let me look at the over-under. Hang on.
Oh, my God.
What is it? Ooh, and they're plus 250 on the money line, Zach.
Yeah, why wouldn't they be? I gotta feel like if you're getting plus 250 in a preseason game money line, you kind of have to take that, right?
You have to.
Just because you're already in a dungeon of sadness in your life anyway. So losing out on those odds, like, wouldn't hurt you. You can't hurt any more than you already do.
Nurkic will not play, so no one will get hurt.
Okay, that's good.
We get to
look at Moutier.
It's going to be DeAndre Jordan versus Jokic, that's going to be fun.
Give me the Clippers. I feel strong about the Clippers minus 7. I feel really strong. And you know what? If you can find a prop bet on Lance Stevenson getting a triple-double tonight, I'll take it. That's my preseason hot take.
They do not have Five Dimes does not have individual.
That's a shame. Is Five Dimes one that you're allowed to mention you looked at one time in your life and not get yelled at on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, unlike two other books that if I mention them, I mean, it's just... And, like, I've learned my lesson.
Sure.
Like, I'll leave it to the sharps. It's fine. But, God, people are just really touchy if you mention certain sports books. Like, they just go nuclear.
Yeah.
Starts. I'm excited to have basketball back.
Hold on. Who do you have for most points in the game tonight?
Ooh. It won't be Moody. Will have most assists.
Okay.
Like, I would bet Moody will have over 6 assists.
I'm going Wes Johnson.
For points?
For points.
You know, everyone's really, like, ragging. I really thought he was fine in L.A. the last 2 years.
He was fine. He was just inconsequential. Like, that's the thing. And yeah. I mean, on that team, that was good.
Yeah.
to be inconsequential. He's just not a guy. Like, he's just not a guy who makes you better. But I think he can be a guy who doesn't make you worse. And that can be great for rounding out a starting five on a really good team. It's just have guys who don't make you worse when they're on the floor.
I talked about this on a podcast for Grizzly Bear Blues this week. I don't really understand why it is that, like, especially with wings, we do this because we were talking about Jeff Green, and I was like, Jeff Green's fine. Like, do not count on Jeff Green to average 17 points and hit the big shot and lead you to a win in the playoffs. Like, why are you expecting that out of Jeff Green? Right. What in his game has indicated to you that that's who he is? Like, well, yeah, but he put up all these numbers in Boston. Well, yeah, he did, but there's a reason that Boston fans were also like, please take him. And, like, I don't mind it. I'm like, no. Like, Jeff Green played really well in the first round series versus Portland. That's all I wanted from him. He helped them win a playoff series. That's it. Like, everything else, not really up to Jeff Green. I'm not looking for Jeff Green. So I'm kind of thinking with Wes Johnson, where it's like, if the Clippers struggle, I'm not going to be like, oh, Wes Johnson's a real problem. Like, no. Like, they have talent. They just need a guy there. You can't, you know, and Pierce coming off the bench is smart. I think it's totally fine.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's all about role, right? Like, Jeff Green is your second guy. Not a great idea. Jeff Green is, like, your fourth or fifth option. Like, yeah, that's fine. Like, that's more than fine.
Most points tonight. Won't be Blake because he'll only play, like, 5 minutes. That's a problem, right? It's like all the Clippers, like, the guys.
Actually, I gotta retract my Wes Johnson thing. If I'm going Lance triple-double, and he's probably just getting 11 points on a triple-double. I'm going Austin Rivers. I think Austin Rivers gets a lot of features tonight. I'd like to go to Austin Rivers.
I don't know if Gallo's going to play.
That's the thing. Like, you can't really pick a starter, right?
Gallo might. I tell you what, Gallo's actually not a bad pick.
Well, he could score 25 points in 16 minutes.
Because, like, well, that's the thing. Is, like, Gallo's, like, really pissed off at the fact that everyone keeps asking about the injuries.
Yeah.
It was kind of surprising at media day because I was like, you know, I was the one that asked it because I talked to him about it last spring for a feature, and he was like, I'm back. Like, I'm past it. And he keeps trying to stress. He's like, it wouldn't have been a big deal if the doctor had not screwed up my surgery. Like, it really bothers him.
Right. That's why he missed the entire 2013-14 season. Yeah.
Now, he's racked up, like, a lot of different small injuries along the way where I'm like, well, okay, you had the meniscus and you had, like, a calf thing and there was a shoulder injury, like, and there's a back problem. Like, you've been banged up. Like, that's a thing. I don't blame you, but that's, like, a thing. But he may be in FU mode. I could see that happening. Eric Green is actually another candidate because Eric Green is, like, no one will try in this game, and Eric Green is fast, and Eric Green is desperately trying to grab the 15th spot on the Nuggets. Like, he's non-guaranteed, and yeah, he's desperately trying to snag the 15th. Ooh, another one. Not great an NBA analysis for the team that I am in the town of and cover. I did not know until media day. I was like, wait, is that Nick Johnson? I was like, oh, it's Nick Johnson.
Oh, what's, yeah, he was Johnson in the Papa Nicolaou trade. I guess it's a Ty Lawson trade.
Yeah. everyone's like, well, yeah, he got traded. I was like, oh, and he's still here? He's guaranteed. They kept him through the date. Like, Nick Johnson's going to be on this. And they're actually like, Nick Johnson may be the third point guard. I'm kind of excited about this. I liked him in Houston. Nick Johnson's my pick. That's my pick.
Yeah, he's just fun. Like, he can shoot threes, and he's a freak athlete, so he can get up and down the floor. Yeah, I like that one. Will Barton could go off.
Yeah, he's another guy.
Also, what are we doing with our lives? Ooh.
We're in that Seinfeld scene again. We are not men.
You don't have to tell me I'm pathetic. I know I am. Dark Horse. And then we can move on to actual NBA dealings. Skeeta. Skeeta's trying to make a team.
I'm sorry, I do not know who you're referring to.
Nikola Skeetashvili! The former, what was he, like the fifth pick? Skeeta!
Nope, not ringing the bell.
What? Skeeta! He was on the Nuggets, well, that was before you moved there, but fifth overall pick in the 2002 draft. Nikola Skeetashvili.
Oh, yeah!
Skeeta. Yeah, I figure if I just say Skeeta enough times, it'll eventually jar your memory. He hasn't been in the league since 2006. So that's exciting.
He's younger than you and I.
Oh, man. I don't know why I feel bad about that, if I feel bad for him.
He played for D'Antoni in Italy.
Yeah? You think he played for him in Denver, didn't he?
Georgians are tough dudes.
Yeah, that's probably a thing.
I like the Georgians.
In 2007-2008 Liga Basket, he averaged 10.7 points a game.
All right, so actual NBA stuff. What do you want to talk about?
All right, we can transition because you mentioned Nick Johnson, who was traded for Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson had some comments in what I thought was a really nice, really good Woj piece.
Yeah, so good.
And I don't know. I read it and I tweeted about it this morning where I was like, I don't know that Ty Lawson's the guy to say something like this, but I get his point. He basically said, like, I'm watching the Rockets-Warriors series in the playoffs, and it just looks like Curry's not working on defense because he doesn't have to, because they didn't have anyone who could go at him, and I want to be that guy. I want to make him work. And I'm sure there's some residual stuff from, like, the 2013 series. You know, like, Ty Lawson's a very good player. I just don't know. I don't know, like, I kind of look at that and I'm like, I don't think the Warriors are too worried about Ty Lawson going, like, taking on the Warriors to make Curry work.
Yeah, you know, Ethan immediately posted the ball rack video.
Yeah.
And when I wrote it up, I pulled a clip from, I flipped out after their game too. Just, I went nuts because the Rockets were so good defensively for most of the year. They got to the playoffs, and you talked a lot about this. It was just terrible.
Yeah, really.
They just fell apart. And especially versus Lawson, they were really bad, or not Lawson, versus Curry. They were not prepared to cover him off ball. Going
yeah,
out.
I mean, they needed Patrick Beverley.
And I get the idea of, you know, everyone's like, but Lawson's not saying he's going to cover him defensively. He said that, like, very specifically, and I was like, well, that's true. I still feel like, one, like, if Lawson really gets going, I will say this, it's interesting if they were to meet, because you can't put Clay on Lawson because you need Clay to guard Harden or Iguodala or Ariza. And so you need somebody fast enough, so you really, like, you almost have to do Curry. So I kind of get what he's saying in that if Lawson really punishes him putting him through screens, that could wear him down a little bit. I just don't know. I'm always kind of like, I don't know, it's Steph. Like, he doesn't really seem to be bothered by, you know, mortal things.
Right. And I don't know. Like, I look at him like, the problem in that series wasn't the fact that Curry didn't have to work on defense. Like, I'm not saying, like, that's what he's saying, oh, if that changes, we win. Like, the Rockets win. Like, I know that's not the case, but and I get what he's saying. Like, you want to try to tire Curry out, so maybe he's not in such great position to do that. But it just felt like, I don't know, maybe I'm misremembering those games, but aside from the first two, like, I didn't think it was a very close series.
They were, the problem is the first two were so close.
Right.
And if one of those games turns, then they might have been a little bit better, at least prepared, because game three, they were still shell-shocked.
Sure.
And the Warriors came in and were like, we're ending this. Like, it's over.
Well, I mean, one thing I got was, someone was like, well, it's not Jason Terry out there defending. I'm like, yeah, but Ty Lawson tries, but he can't affect, like, I don't know. Like, I'd rather have the ball in Harden's hands
and a shooter on the wing, and Lawson can be that shooter. But, I mean, if we're just talking from, like, an offensive standpoint, if I'm the Rockets, I want the ball in Harden's hands as much as possible.
Having covered Lawson, watched him as much as I have, and talked to him as much as I have, the other thing is he hates going over screens, and usually when you say that, it's like a laziness thing. Ty will get hurt. Like, he's so small that where he winds up running into people hurts him more.
Especially with Bogut screens, because those are kind of lethal.
Yeah. And Draymond, too. Like, he'll get hurt if they peel him over those screens over and over again. And yeah, you're right. Like, Harden's going to have the ball in his hands most times anyway. Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to dismiss it, but because I think there is some real strategy there. But, I just look at that. I look at that matchup. I'm just like, man, you want Patrick Beverley out there as much as possible against Curry, no matter what the offensive sacrifice is there.
Yeah. I did think it was kind of sad that he basically threw Jason Terry under the bus, and Jason Terry's like in the corner being like, hi, still on the team.
Still here, guys.
Have a championship. You do not.
This was actually an interesting comment, and I saw some people tweeting about it. He talked about how, like, if it wasn't for the court order, he wouldn't have gone to rehab.
Yeah.
And some people are like, ooh, that's not a good look. And I'm just like, I think it's fine because he's being honest. I don't think he's saying, like, I didn't have a problem. I think he's saying, like, I didn't think I had a problem. Like, I thought it was just, like, and he even kind of says, like, it was two bad mistakes. But, you know, if the court-ordered rehab opens his eyes in any way, like, I think that's kind of what he's more saying than, like, oh, I don't think I should be there.
Yeah. I got the vibe that he was like, I still just think I made two stupid mistakes. Yeah. There was a real concern from those of us in Denver about Ty Lawson last season. Reporting on that is
tough. Like,
you know, who am I going to get to go on record to be like, oh, yeah, Ty's an alcoholic. Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Like, even on background, who's going to go on? But he kept popping up on the flu-like symptoms report. He missed the flight back from Vegas. Stories got out, and they got out consistently about Ty partaking in substances. Not substances, alcohol, because that seems to indicate something different. So I would just say that, and the Nuggets made several efforts. To my knowledge, the Nuggets made several efforts to try and help him, and he did not respond. You've also mentioned this. Like, he had a problem in college.
Mm-hmm.
He had another problem. Like, this is like his fourth DUI. And, like, I'm sorry, as much as you want to be like, well, like, no, like, you clearly are not capable of, you know, maybe the only problem with alcohol, with your only problem with alcohol isn't that you're an alcoholic. Maybe it's just that you're really bad at handling it.
Right.
Because he went to a charity event for the team, and that's when he got popped for the DUI last spring. That's an exceptionally bad look.
Yeah.
Like, to go to a charity event with your teammates and still not call an Uber, not find a way home. It's just not it's a real, and so whatever it is, I would just say that, like, it did concern me because he needs to understand. And again, like, I've done stupid things in my life, especially when I was younger, but it's just like, you know, a lot of us in the media were like, is somebody going to do something about this? Because, like, if Ty winds up killing somebody, you know, how are we going to feel about it?
Right. And
that's, you know, with him getting in those DUIs, that was the concern. It's like he was going to hurt himself or somebody else. And so I just, you know, if he's past it and he straightened himself out and it really was just he was young, he's still pretty young, and just living the life of an NBA player, then that's fine. It just seems very apparent that, to me, that there was a bigger situation going on, and I hope that he's resolved it. I really like Ty Lawson. I enjoy talking to him. I really respected him. He was always really good in talking to me and the media. I have really high hopes for him in Houston, but, you know, I just hope he's past it, and I hope he's, you know, that he's in a place where he'll be taken care of. And, you know, I also think maybe the locker room situation in Houston will be a little bit different in that Harden definitely parties, but Harden, I think, also will probably maybe keep him out of trouble too, and that'll be good.
Right.
And
being around someone like Jason Terry may help there. You know, Jason Terry's a very good veteran.
Well, he had Jameer last year, and
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I want to ask you, so I did Power Rankings this week for a preseason. They're up on cbssports.com/NBA/Power Rankings, where you'd expect to find them. And I had the Warriors 1, which I don't think anybody can really argue with. Even if you think the Cavs or Spurs are number 1, it's, I don't think you're going to be like, that's ridiculous for you to have the Warriors 1. I did want to ask you about the bottom, because I don't necessarily think that Blazers fans understand what's happening.
So you have the Blazers as the bottom team.
Yes, they are number 30 to me.
I don't agree, but I also don't, like, I don't think it's wrong necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are a couple of teams that are definitely worse than them. But if you look at that team and say, like, eh, you know, yes, they have Lillard, but they have all the questions in the world after that, like, I think that's accurate. I mean, it's possible they're going to be, you know, a Disney story and challenge and be the scrappy underdog and all that stuff, but they're probably just going to be bad.
Well, it's like, you know, you have to lean on something if you're going to make that kind of a run, right?
Right.
Like, oh, their offense is really good. Well, their shooters are going to be the Gerald Henderson is out with hip surgery, and they don't know when he's going to be back. So it's going to be Dame and CJ McCollum. Okay, that works. And then Aminu and Legend, Myers Leonard, and Plumlee. And I guess you can argue that Dame and McCollum and Leonard could wind up producing enough points if you really believe that without LaMarcus Aldridge and without Robin Lopez, that Leonard's going to be as open as he was last year. Maybe you can go down that road. I wrote a piece earlier this summer arguing, like, I think they're going to be good defensively and terrible offensively. Because I think that when Henderson gets back, I think Hendo starts, and then your lineup is Dame, Henderson, Aminu, Leonard, Plumlee. Oh my God. You know, like,
man.
Yeah. And so that's my thing is, you know, if you say the Wizards or the Timberwolves are going to be worse, I'm just like, man, I don't know. I think Andrew Wiggins can get him to like 25 wins, and then I think Towns can help him get to like 27, 28. Like, I think the Timberwolves could be – I think the Timberwolves, depending on what happens with Sam Mitchell, I think will be tolerable to watch this season. I think they'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, assuming relative health, like, they certainly won't be – like, they just weren't that bad last season,
right?
In terms of talent on the roster. It's just they were – struggling to find guys to round out the mandatory, like, 8 players in uniform at times. And so it doesn't mean they're good, but I don't know. Like, I look at that and I'm at that team and I just think, I think they'll have relative success early. Like, they could be like, I don't know, 3-3 or something like that, 4-3. And we're like, oh my God, the Timberwolves might be something. And then I think they'll just suck for a couple of months. And then, but I just, I don't know. Like, I look at them and I just think, like, you're building throughout the season to be a problem at the end of the season, so you can take that into next season, and then maybe you can start thinking about, like, oh, 35, 40, 45 wins or whatever. And even then, that seems really early for this rebuilding project. Like, I think there's more... I think there's more talent on the Timberwolves, but I also... Like, we just... There's so much youth on that team, and...
Young teams don't win.
Yeah, young teams don't win. Like, we just get really excited about young teams, and... Like, I think they have more star power and more potential star power than what we've seen out of Orlando the last couple of years. But look what Orlando did. They're like, you know, 25 to 27 wins a year in the East.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Wolves are maybe a little bit better version of that in the West. I don't see a ton of wins coming.
The Sixers, my entire thought is they play in the East. Noel and, like, I think Jahlil will be good right away.
Yeah.
I think Jahlil Okafor is going to be good, at least from a scoring perspective, right away. Like, I think he'll be putting up double digit points on a nightly basis from the start. And, you know, if they just get, like, just a little bit of shooting, just a teensy tiny little bit,
just like just lobs that accidentally go in from beyond the 3-point line.
Yes. I think that the Sixers will be at least better than the Blazers. Like, that's my only thing is I just, you know, the Magic could wind up worse being the Blazers, but at least with the Magic, I'm like, there's a scenario where I look at, I'm like, the Magic could be could be decent to good.
Man, we go into every season the last couple of years and thinking like, oh my god, think about how bad the Sixers are going to be, and then they're never the worst team.
We're never the worst team. That was my whole thing, I was like, I'm not putting them 30, because every year I put them 30, I'm like, this team's a joke, they're pathetic, and then they don't get the number one.
And yeah, something goes wrong for another team and they fall below. Like, that just, yeah. It was Milwaukee 2 years ago, it was the Knicks and the Wolves last year, like, they're not going to be the worst team. Orlando's tricky for me. Like, you had them, well, you did like a off-season power rankings before, so they were 23rd in that, but 27th overall, like, I don't know, do you think that they have, like, and not even to go into the what-ifs, but isn't Skiles just going to wring everything out of them positive that he can this season? Like, I just feel like they're better than 27th, but then again, I don't know how, I don't know who you definitely drop below them.
Yeah, that was my thing is, all right, so, like, the Hornets have more talent. Like, the Hornets are a more talented team because they have Al Jefferson and Nick Batum and MKG and Kemba only one out of five good nights that he's.
But he's still, I mean, I'm not a Kemba guy, but he's still better than Elfrid Payton, right?
Right. Yeah. At this point in the league, yeah. I like a lot of Orlando's talent and I really want them to get good. I'm trying really hard not to do, I'm trying to fight my instincts, is a lot of it. Is like the Bucks. I'm doing this with too. Like the Bucks fans really got pissed at me yesterday for putting them
15th. That sounds right.
They were really mad.
Why?
Especially because of my description. Because I said that this is the blurb I put on them. I said, but they lost veteran talent, and sometimes like the Hornets last year, teams just fall off. That like seems every team. No, the team that happens to never sees it coming. They think it's inconceivable. And I don't mind that everybody's so positive right now. Like, it's okay. Like, you should be excited. I don't want fans to go into the season being like, we're going to be terrible and it sucks and we have no hope. Except for Brooklyn. You should be like that. But generally speaking, I think it's cool that for fans to be excited. You shouldn't be mad at me just because I'm like, well, you know, that's my thing with Milwaukee is I was so high on them after the Greg Monroe thing. I was like, Milwaukee's going to be awesome. Like, this is going to be so much fun. And I'm like, you know, Giannis is still really incomplete in a lot of areas, and Jabari's coming back from an ACL tear, and like he never really got to establish his game and is still figuring out who he is in the league. And MCW, actually, they were really good with him on the floor offensively, but there are real issues with what he brings to the table.
Because he sucks.
And Monroe, defensively, has had so many problems, even though I think they're a little overstated. Like, there's all these things where I'm like, there's a lot of scenarios in which Milwaukee goes haywire, and we're all like, what happened? They were going to be good. Because that's how I was with Charlotte last year. I thought Charlotte was going to win the division, and then, like, everything that could go wrong for Charlotte did. And it wasn't just injuries.
Well, couldn't
everything that went for bad for them did.
Couldn't you see, like, Chris Middleton taking a step back this year, and not like, oh, he's not worth a contract or anything, but just, you could see him taking a step back next year or this coming season, and then the season after, it's like a reminder of like, oh right, Chris Middleton's awesome.
Yeah, like Chris Middleton has not built up enough credit for me to be like, yes, he is definitely good. This is how I am with all the Celtics too, where I'm like, you had a nice 6 months, you had a nice 3 months of the season last year. That's great. That's awesome. Good for you. I don't trust it. I just don't trust it yet. You're going to have to prove it to me. That's where I'm at with Boston is if Brad Stevens can really pull this team to be a 45, 46, 47 win team, by all means, I will start to believe that Brad Stevens really is the Christ-like figure that he has been made out to be by fans, not only in Boston, but across the league.
I mean, I've had Boston fans like, well, we have the best coach in the league. I'm like, pump the brakes, buddy.
Yeah, just
calm down. He's very good. I think he's going
to
be...
David Blatt also kicked his ass in the first round, and it wasn't just the fact that he had way more talent. They were going to get swept in that series no matter what, but they wound up getting swept in the way they did, where they weren't really competitive in the fourth quarter for most of those games, because Blatt really worked them over. Like, Stevens got worked over pretty bad in that first playoff spot. And that's fine. It's the first playoff appearance. But a bunch of these teams, it's also really, the East is really interesting to me from, okay, interesting is a strong word, but I do think that there's this range for the 8 seed where it's New York, Brooklyn, Charlotte, Orlando, Detroit that you can look at, Indiana, Boston, Boston, I think some people think they're going to get the 7. I don't. But, you know, in that range of those teams are going to be good. And all of them, I have reasons to really like them, and all of them I have reasons to be like, oof, this could go bad. Like the Pacers, I love Frank Vogel and think Paul George is terrific, and I like drafting Miles Turner, and I like a lot of their talent. I love George Hill, you know? And hey, want to have it all. But
right.
I'm also just like, man, I don't know if you can just snap your fingers and be a small ball, three-guard, up-tempo team. I don't think you can just snap your fingers.
Especially with Miles Turner in a rookie season and Jordan Hill and Jan Mahimi and LaVoie Allen as your big man rotation.
Jan's a starter. Like, Jan's starting. I like Jan Mahimi. I've been covering him since he was...
He's the best big man.
E-League.
He's the best big man. He should start. That's the bad part about it.
It's nice though because the teams that are bad in the West, like it can be like, well, you know, they're getting better, they're improving, they're not going to be a playoff team, but it's okay. That's what's kind of nice about the Nuggets is there's no pressure and there's no expectation, so it's just like, no, they're going to be better than they were last year. They're entertaining. They're going to lose a bunch of games.
I think they're also a team that could come out like just kind of kicking everyone's ass right out of the break, or right out of the starting block, and just like all of a sudden they have a winning record after the first 4 weeks of the season and then fall off. But they're a team where, like, because they can play loose and they don't really have, you know, much to lose other than games, like, I think that they can – they've got a bunch of talent, and I think they could come out and Moutier could just be impossible to stay in front of for the first month until they start scouting him better and everything. I think Denver could really start out nicely.
I'm writing about this for Nuggets offseason report on Monday. I was really impressed by – Malone didn't duck any of the questions, and he answered them in really I'm very excited about covering Michael Malone. I'm getting heart palpitations from every time he speaks because he speaks in analytical terms with the understanding that he's a coach and a coach's son.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also just really reasonable to talk to. There's no bluster. There's none of this like, you know, well, what are the expectations? We expect to win. Like, that's okay. Sure. And even then, like, he's open to answering actual questions. So you say, like, you know, well, all right, you want to play – you say you want to get better on the defensive end. What do you mean by that? Coaches will say that means being tough, or that means having – you know, being willing to play good defense. And instead Malone's like, we were one of the worst teams in the league at effective field goal percentage allowed last season. We gave up high percentage shots at an alarming rate. We have to contest shots better. And then we have to get the rebound because our defensive rebound rate was awful. Like, oh, okay. Like, specific things that you can do. Like, he mentioned over the summer what he's going to do with pick and roll. But the other thing is that this is the big thing for me, is he said repeatedly, like, we have to be patient. He's like, I'm going to have to remind myself of that. I want to win. I'm a coach. I want to win. I'm in this business to win. You want to compete. But we have goals that go beyond this season, and we have to understand that. In late in games, I have to give young guys opportunities to understand what it takes to win in those moments and not go to my fallback positions. I still want to win, but we have to be willing to make some of those mistakes. And I was like, man, that takes a lot of perspective to get there. Like, it's really good to hear that, like, he's going to put Moutier out on the floor in some of these moments. He's going to put Nurkic out on the floor in some of these moments, even though he knows that's not his best chance to win because he needs to put him in that opportunity. I think that bodes really well for them. You know, I talked about the Knicks the other day. I just want, more than anything, I want to skip ahead to 4 weeks into the season so that we will know about the Kings. And so I can stop.
Matt, I think you should know. DeMarcus Cousins is shooting threes now.
Oh, shit.
So that's my favorite. It's like, lots of guys. Like, Birdman shoots threes. I don't get DeMarcus by the basket where he can be dominant. How about that? I think it's great that he can shoot a jumper. Let's put him around the rim where he tears it down.
Do you remember when Bynum was shooting threes?
Oh, boy, do I.
And Brown got so mad at him, and he just kept shooting them.
Oh, man. I remember that more than I remember my own graduation.
But my thing, I want to, because if they're good, I'm going to reward them. Like, if all the Kings fans happen to be right, and this team is going to be good this year, I want to be like, hey, the Kings are really good this year. Like, that's awesome. I'm really excited for them. This is great. Like, good. You know, I want good things for Sacramento. Those fans have been through a lot.
I just hope we get through a season where they don't fire a coach.
Good start. You know, I want them to be good. So But on the other hand, like, I just don't know. That they and the Pistons are the ones that I'm just like, I just don't know.
Yeah, my
Detroit
fans
also don't understand why I'm confused about them. I'm just
My Pistons love is all blind faith. It's just my man crush on Stan Van Gundy and Andre Drummond. Like, that's all it is. I like the idea of it, but they're not a deep team at all. So one big injury screws them. And I don't know, like, the Kings could win 32 games and still have huge improvements for this year. It's not just about win total for them. Like, they need to build something, right? Like, it's not like they put together this roster. It's like, okay, go make the playoffs. Like, that's crazy if you think that should be their goal this year. Their goal needs to be improvement and stability. And then you can, I mean, my God, like, they have talent on that roster. It's not that they don't have talent. It's that they need continuity and chemistry with that roster in order to build. Like, you don't just put something together and go win. Like, you have to build towards winning. And that's what you want to see with the Kings. Like, are they building towards winning?
Yeah. I really don't know what to do with Detroit. I don't. Everyone's like, well, they're going to spread the floor. I don't. Are they? I don't know.
Well, okay. They were fantastic spreading the floor the last, like, month and a half of the season, or maybe 2 months of the season, and it looked great. Their defense was a disaster at that time.
And, like, I like Ersan Ilyasova's game a lot. He's been – I enjoy watching him aesthetically, but he's not good. I know that.
Man, you know, like, all right, we talked about this a little bit the other day, but Dallas may be way too high on your rankings at 22, and I can't believe I'm saying that.
Well, yeah, I put him there because I was like...
That's Carlisle, right? I mean...
Yeah. I mean, I have this whole... I've talked about this before. I have this entire system that goes on a five-point scale for everybody. And so, to put it in perspective, Dallas was a one. Like, you do... I rank every team 1 through 5, and then I rank all the 5s 1 through 5, all the 4s 1 through 5, etc. So Dallas was a one. They're the best one of all the one teams. Dallas was a 1-5, Brooklyn was a 1-4, or Detroit was a 1-4, Brooklyn was a 1-3. Brooklyn, LA, and Charlotte were all 1-3s. So Dallas is like right on the cusp of being a 1-5. But I decided to go ahead and push New York, and that's why they're over Dallas. But it's also like, okay, Dallas does have NBA players. Like, that does go a long way. Like, right. Dallas has NBA players.
And Sam Hollander.
Yes. He's already, you know, like we talked about, is already. Has not gotten in shape since 2000, whatever.
Phoenix is a tricky one. Just because we like their coach. We like a lot of their weapons. We think Markieff Morris wants to be there now. I don't know. I don't even know what to do with that whole situation. And they're, like, competitive good. It's just, are they good? You have them at 16.
Yeah.
Their team, I mean, if you told me they make the 8 seed this year, I wouldn't think it's crazy. If you told me they ended up with 32 wins, like, I wouldn't think it's crazy either.
I'm just waiting for everything to blow up. But that's the thing, is I'm done trying to predict what's going to happen. Like, there were rumors that Hornacek was going to leave in the summer to go take a college job.
Yeah.
Like a low-level college job. And I was like, that's absurd. And then, like, some Phoenix media was like, well, he doesn't seem necessarily thrilled with how this is, with dealing with all these headaches. So I just don't know. I don't know. You know, if they can stay together, if Tyson can, like, bring them together, they could be really good.
Now, I got to ask you something. Have your mentions stopped burning with the fact that you have the Raptors over the Wizards? Because that couldn't have gone over well.
It didn't. but actually, most Wizards fans, I think, Wizards fans are pretty reasonable. And actually, most Wizards fans were just basically like, they read the blurb, which was... Their offseason was solid, but they lost Paul Pierce, and the regular season team isn't very good. That was my thing. Now, I wrote about, just today, I wrote about, there's really good signs, Zach, that Whitman may have finally gotten it.
Gotten?
Like, he put boxes out on the court for them to make sure that they're spreading the floor appropriately and shooting threes. They're pushing pace. He mentioned...
Are you sure he just didn't get lost moving and didn't want to leave stuff in the car?
He mentioned both pace and points per 100 possessions. Randy Whitman!
Wow.
Randy Whitman said this. I'm optimistic that maybe finally, whether it was just Leonsis going and being like, come on. Or what? But Whitman seems to really be like, all right, we won 2 years in a row by playing the style that I basically derided. Let's give it a shot.
I mean, they should. But
of course they should.
They look really good when they play that style.
I got mad writing the article. I got really mad writing the article just reading it because like here's the paragraph of saying, they took more shots from mid-range than all but two teams despite being patently not good at shooting them. They took the third most mid-range attempts and were, I think, 18th in mid-range field goal percentage. Meanwhile, they were 27th in three-point attempts and 9th in percentage.
Yeah.
Just maddening. And for me, it's also just as simple as you have Bradley Beal, who's obviously a good shooter. He should shoot more threes. You have John Wall, who's one of the fastest human beings in the league. Make him run. Let him run with the ball.
And space the floor for him because no one's staying in front of that crossover.
Yeah.
No one's staying in front of that hesitation dribble or the in-and-out dribble. Like no one's staying in front of any of those. So if you give him more space to do that, good God, he'll live at the rim. He'll get his mail forwarded to the rim.
Right? You know, and Beal's talking about how he's going to take fewer mid-range jump shots and try and get to the rim more.
Yeah.
That he needs, and I think that part of that's been his injury. And if he's able to take that step, and a lot of guys get to this point where Beal's at in his career where they start being able to handle contact better, that's going to make him more efficient. And if their offense is efficient, the defense is good enough, I think even with the small ball approach, they'll be good enough defensively. You know, that's a team that if they play that style, then I reevaluate where I have them in the Eastern Conference. I still think Atlanta and Miami are better. I might put Washington over Chicago. I'm serious. That's how good I think the Wizards could be if they play the right style.
Yeah. I'm still a little skeptical of Otto Porter. But I think, give me a month and a half of him playing the way he did in the playoffs in the regular season, and I'll be completely on board.
Yeah.
But you just, you get every once in a while, you get one of those guys that crop up out of nowhere and then go back to being nowhere.
Well, there's just guys that I need to see it. And I'm that way with Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
Where I'm kind of like, I need to see if he can actually lead a team and be the number one guy.
Somebody mentioned to me about that whole, what was the situation with Reggie where he got mad that he got traded or he was mad he wasn't going to get traded or something like that. And someone was like, oh, that told me everything I need to know about him. I'm just like, we got to stop holding these moral injustices because a guy has a bad day with something at work. I don't think Reggie Jackson's character should be in question here.
Yeah, I mean, there was people that basically said that there were indications that the problem was that he stuck up for a reporter.
Yeah.
And that's
which you don't do in Oklahoma City.
Patently insane. I still don't understand this because I actually shows you I'm getting a little bit more bold as I get older because I actually started going back at players a little bit on this. Darrell Arthur, who I have a good relationship with, sat down the other day and he just murdered. He was for media day, he was like, kill me. And I was like, come on. And he started laughing and I was like, you're not in New York. You're not in L.A. There's not throngs of people. You're not getting bombarded with questions. This place is fine. Oklahoma City, that's how I am. I'm like, there's 10 outlets there. And everyone loves him. And the idea, there's a lot of people that are like, well, KD really turned after Mr. Unreliable. And it's like, it was one headline writer.
Right.
One headline writer. The guys of that paper have been incessantly positive and fair. Darnell Mayberry has been very fair there. I do not understand. I don't understand when players that are not in tough situations. It's one thing. Melo can roll his eyes all he wants at the media. The dude has to deal with the New York guys every single day. And that's just a lot of media. Yeah. It's not about the New York guys. It's about the fact that there's a huge ton of people there. The LA media is largely pretty soft because everyone's in a good mood there all the time because of the weather. But still, there's a million people there.
Well, and you can't make Kobe mad.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the whole thing.
But yeah, that's I just don't understand the idea of why the guys in Oklahoma City would be like that. And, for Reggie Jackson just wanting to, be decent to a reporter and get him a chair or whatever, come on. I just don't – my whole thing is I'm just you don't have to like us, but just – we could at least be human beings to each other. There's no reason to be – for this to be, acrimonious. And you could say, we'll sell that to all the things that get twisted out of context. Well, blame the guys that do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, in kind of the same way, it's like they don't want to be generalized as like, oh, well, pro athletes do this. Like, we don't want to be generalized with like, oh, all media do this. Yeah. Like, someone, I wrote this thing about the Heat yesterday, and
that was good.
Thank you. And basically in the title, it was something like, I don't know, the headline got changed to something like, they're not talking title yet, but they're looking for their new identity or something like that. And someone just tweeted me something like, oh, they're not talking about the title, but that didn't stop you guys from doing it. I'm like, we didn't do that at all. He goes, oh, I didn't read it, but, you know, you just know how the media are with what they are. I'm like, no, dog, like, no. Like, I, like, you know me, I have the coldest takes. I'm not a hot take guy. I throw everything in the freezer. I'm not in on that. Like, I don't want to be lumped in, just like certain guys don't want to be lumped in the other way. And it's just, and it's not this like, oh, poor us media thing. It's just like, I want everyone to stop being lazy with stuff. That's what I want.
Right. Yeah, all of your soups are cold.
Everything's gazpacho.
Yeah, thank you for finding that word, because I was trying to think of it, and I was like, I kept being like, I was like, oh, he's making Gestapo. No, that's
no,
not.
No, definitely not that.
Not that. Not making that.
No.
I also, by the way, I make awesome soups.
Okay, that's great. I'll add that to your scouting report.
I really do. I make incredible soups. I made a black bean and quinoa the other day that was lights out.
That's exciting.
I'm making potato and corn chowder tonight.
Okay. I make amazing champagne cupcakes.
Really?
Yeah, amazing.
How do you do that?
Well, you have to both cook it into the batter, and then also I make my own frosting. But yeah, you cook in...
I did not peg you for a baker.
Dude, I love to bake.
Wow!
Yeah, I'd never do it because it's so bad. Like, what I bake is so bad for me. I don't want to be 400 pounds. But yeah, man, champagne cupcakes. Like, that's my trump card for everything.
The Knights of Columbus got mad at me today for turning down their Tootsie Rolls.
Okay.
We'll get back to basketball in a second. So, like, they were out front at the grocery store, and I went in. I'd forgotten something, so I went back in, and I checked out, and I got cash, and brought it back out, and handed it to them. They had Tootsie Rolls, and they were supporting charities for mentally challenged folks. And so I was like, and they offered me a Tootsie Roll. I was like, oh, no, thank you. And then the guy was like, what's wrong with my Tootsie Roll? Which, one, I was like, okay, phrasing. But two... By the way, I kill people on Twitter for doing that, so I shouldn't do it myself. But then I was just like, well, no, man. Like, I'm on, like, a serious diet. You can't have one Tootsie Roll? And, like, by this point, I'm like, is there going to be an incident?
This is getting combative. That's
well, I'm really worried, because with all the conceal laws, like, that's all I can think of now is I'm wandering through Colorado's grocery stores. I'm just like, how many of you are armed?
Oh.
Is there going to be, like, and we're not going to go into anything political. I'm just saying, like, I'm worried about there being like a fight that breaks out over the champagne cupcakes at the bakery.
Oh yeah, I mean that's where it gets heated.
And someone draws, you know.
I went to I can't remember what it's called. What is it, Florida Atlantic University or whatever, FAU, yeah. In Boca Raton, because that's where the Heat were. And the address they gave for the arena was actually just it led me to a Chick-fil-A or led me to a Starbucks on campus. So nowhere near the arena. But I was walking by and someone's like, hey, you know, will you register for like the bone marrow registry? I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to like practice. I'm trying to find the arena, blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, kind of like, you don't have time to do this kind of thing. Like kind of in the Tootsie Roll. I'm just like, dude, I'm not against registering my bone marrow type. But like, if I say I've got somewhere to be, like I've got somewhere to be. Like, I'm not blowing you off. Like, I literally have to find a place that I've never been before. What I'm saying is, you're trying to get people to sign up for something or take something. Don't be combative. That's not a good selling point.
Good point. Is there anything else going
on? I mean, Tristan Thompson's going on, but neither of us ever care about talking about it again.
I was so annoyed yesterday at this entire story.
Sign him or don't. I don't care anymore.
I was working on this feature that or not feature like a column that's coming out. I'm doing coach rankings. It was going to come out today, But basically, I was so tired from working on a bigger thing that's coming out next week, which I'm very excited about. But tired from that and then everything else, I didn't – and then I had to cover Tristan. So after I wrote Tristan, I wrote this terrible column, and our editor is basically like, this isn't going to work. No. By the way, you mentioned that like you didn't write the headline, that got changed.
Yeah.
I sell out the editors every time. I sell out our guys. And I love our editors. I love EK and Brad, but I would sell them out all the time. If it's not my headline, I am the first one to be like, not mine. Didn't do it.
I'm bad at writing headlines anyway, so I don't care if it gets changed for the most. Well, as long as it doesn't
write like keywords.
Yeah, just like, oh, Megan Fox, NBA. Like, I don't know what to
eat, comma, yeah. Goran Dragic, fast. Like you're writing like a caveman.
Right.
Eat fast, play good.
Title question mark and like write out question mark.
I am looking forward though, if because you're starting off the season. You said that you're starting off kind of reticent about how good the Heat are going to be.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled for how this is going to play out with Miami fans.
Oh, they really lost.
You haven't had like a big throwdown with them yet.
Started to this summer. Like they really lost their excrement when it came to me mentioning the idea of like trading Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
They didn't like that. And it's like, well, if you have dreams of having Wade in town forever, and if you have dreams of getting Kevin Durant, well, then Hassan Whiteside doesn't fit in, so you may as well get something for him. And you can't afford him because you don't have his bird rights. But whatever. It doesn't matter. So that was, like, kind of a thing. And also, it's going to be, like, the fact that I've cooled off on them, their schedule in November, I think, is really easy. Like, they could come out just crazy in November. And I think around January, it gets, like, almost impossibly hard. So this could be a situation where, like, it's a lot of, oh, I thought the Heat weren't going to be all that good. And then January is just a lot of radio silence on that one.
Wade should do the LeBron sabbatical thing.
Yeah.
He should just take January off.
Man, they can get by with it, too. Like, Goran's good.
It'll be good. It'd be actually great if they announced it now. How good would that be if they were like...
Dwayne Wade will not be with us from January 5th to January 19th.
Yeah. Like, I think that'd be great to just be like, nope, he's not going to play.
I know what we were going to talk about. John Henson got a deal.
Well, we can talk about that, but I have a better thing to talk about.
Okay.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a Sherlock Holmes novel.
Yes! I read... I can't remember what platform it's on, but Jay Caspian King wrote a fantastic, like, kind of like I hung out with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar feature that's really good. That just Google Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Jay Caspian King. It's phenomenal.
Like, he writes it, and he's writing about like Mycroft Holmes, like the brother.
He wrote a book about like a tank battalion in World War I or World War II.
He's crazy smart.
Yeah.
Which makes me reevaluate his career in all sorts of ways, because like reading back on things like Breaks of the Game and a few of the other books from his era, there's always kind of been like Kareem didn't really like banging down low with the tough guys. Like, he didn't really like playing defense, and he doesn't really like playing physical. And now I'm like, it's because he's too smart. Like, why would he bother doing that? Like, that hurts. That's right.
Also, like, greatest scorer we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Right? I mean... Like, I don't know. I just think it's so weird that we turn... Like, I get, back in the day, it was more of, like, a man's man and grab your junk and crush a beer can and all this stuff. But like, we're like, oh, this guy's soft. This guy doesn't want to play inside. Like, yeah, he wants to maximize his abilities in whatever way he sees fit. Right? And, like, why do we... I don't know. Like, our job is to critique and all that stuff. But, like, why do we judge it on a level of, like, toughness? Like, that's just not always the smartest avenue.
And then that got me thinking about Kareem, and everyone knows about his stint in Airplane. I had never actually confirmed that he was the crazy apocalyptic guy in the TV series from 1994 of Stephen King's The Stand.
Yeah.
Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead!
The Stand and Langoliers. Those were some great made-for-TV Stephen King movies. It's the best.
But I really liked The Stand. Even though when I look back on it, one, like, of course, like, the special effects are hilarious. But right. Two, the bad guy is wearing jeans and has a mullet. Like, that's just... really terrific. But the cast, that's crazy. Ed Harris, yeah. Molly Ringwald.
It was like
Rob Lowe?
It was loaded. You know what? I don't know if you watch New Girl, but Kareem has had a couple of cameos in that, and he's hilarious in it.
The Chris Humphreys mini project appearance is one of my favorite recent television.
Yeah.
Like, it's Roy Hibbert and then Chris Humphreys for me. Those are the best like NBA player drop-ins lately. Not that I watch those shows because they're not on CBS, America's Most Watched.
No, I legally stream them.
Right.
And block all the ads.
What are you doing this weekend besides icing your ankle?
Man, I can't do it.
Or ricing it, as Anand was saying.
I guess nothing now. Like, I was supposed to play ball tomorrow. Like, that's not going to happen. A guy in my building was moving out, and he's like, hey, you know, my girlfriend can't, you know, she just can't lift this couch, blah, blah, blah. Like, can you help me get it downstairs? I was like, dude, I rolled my ankle yesterday. He's like, oh, no worries. I was like, man, I'll just try. Like, if you go on the, like, on the downside of the stairs, like, and you take the majority of the weight, I'll do it. And I did that, and then I helped him move his mattress, and I just regret being a nice person in that instance because it hurts so much right now. So I am going to see, well, now that I'm not going to play basketball on Saturday, I think I'm going to go see Black Mass.
Okay. I'm going to see The Martian, I think, tonight.
Ooh, maybe I'll just do a double feature.
I was going to do a double feature with The Martian and Sicario.
Ooh, maybe I'll do a triple feature. Maybe I'll just live at the movie theater on Saturday because I don't have anything to do. Just going to find a back row seat, prop my leg up, and just keep asking for ice. Also, I bought it. Here's my old man yelling rant. I bought an ice pack yesterday because I've been going off peas and whatever. And ice packs are like $18. It's nothing. It's just a waste. Don't buy ice packs. I hope we're not sponsored by ice packs at CVS because they're just a joke of a scam. Never buy an ice pack.
I would just get a Ziploc bag and put ice in it.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. I just thought, like, oh, I need should get a good ice pack. $18. Get out. I should return it. I don't have the packaging anymore, but I should just take it back. Just throw it at them. Say, I don't want it.
How did you injure it?
This was the annoying thing. I talked about it on the podcast yesterday with Tim, but so I won't go into great detail. But I either jumped off I either stepped on someone's foot as I was jumping, or I came down on someone's foot. I can't really remember. I just know I felt pain and like fell to the floor. But like played 2 hours of injury free basketball, and like I was playing with a jammed finger that I hurt last week, and so I didn't hurt that for 2 hours. Like it felt pretty good, and then boom, ended it on game point of the last game.
Oh man!
Yeah, just the worst. Like. And then you just start thinking, like, why did I make that step? Why did I do that? I could be fine right now. And it's just annoying.
I'm fine.
You're good? aside from being accosted about a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah.
Real quick, what do you think of the John Henson deal? I love it. I think it's great for both sides.
Yeah. He played really well last year. He showed real growth. I like that they got him for as cheap as they did. That, I mean, $11 million is just, like, nothing. And under the new cap.
Yeah, I think not this coming season, but next season, it's the equivalent of like $8.3 million under this cap, and then it's like $7.1 after the next jump after that in 2 years. So
it's just
for a backup big who blocks shots, I like it.
It's just, it's just like, they get a big, a capable big who works hard and stays on the court. That's been one of the things I've been thinking a lot about. Like, if you're able to stay on the floor, that's a big deal.
It is.
Just being available to play is... And
we see all those injuries.
You know?
All the time.
There's so many guys that are always so banged up.
Like, yeah.
So many guys that could be good and that. So, yeah, that's the other thing is, oh, hey, preseason's here, so someone's going to get hurt.
Yeah, so can't wait for that injury. That'll be exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah, Henson played 63 games in 2013 when they... and then 2000... He played 70 in 2014 and 67 last year. Like, he's just – doesn't sound like a lot, but for a big to play that many games, it's solid.
Also, you know me. Like, I'm not – I have my high butt theory. He has a high butt, and I came around on thinking he's a good player. Like, I didn't like him coming out of college because of the high butt.
Yeah.
And then the more I've seen him work and the more I've seen him kind of adapt his game and use his length for shot blocking and everything, like, I'm in on him.
You have to refine that term. You need to say, like, posterior altitude.
Sky ass? Can I say sky ass?
I'm out.